President-elect Donald Trump has vowed to deport 2 to 3 million immigrants who are in the United States illegally. But a number of cities across the country are preparing to resist the large-scale deportation effort. This is an extension of resistance some have already shown to President Obama's immigration policies. The mayor of Oakland in California has compared the move to a conscientious objector status. Muzaffar Chisti is the director of the Migration Policy Institute's office at the New York University School of Law. Muzaffar, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
What are Donald Trump's immigration policies, especially around deportation?
Well, as is true for most of President-elect's policies, we don't know the details. We obviously know a little bit about it from his positions during the campaign and a little that he has spoken after the election. On the issue of removing unauthorized people from the United States, his initial position was to remove all the 11.2 million unauthorized in the U.S. today. But recently he has changed the position to suggest that only unauthorized immigrants with criminal backgrounds would be removed. And that he contends is about 2 to 3 million people. And our best estimates are that that's closer to 2 million people.
Do cities have the ability legally to do the thing we mentioned earlier, to actually resist federal law in matters where they think rights are being violated?
The debate in the U.S. is that currently almost all, and so if not all, at least most of our removals of unauthorized come through the criminal justice system. These are people who have been brought into a booking facility for state crimes. And once they are processed for the state crimes, then they are put in removal proceedings. The city jurisdictions are saying that we do not want to be cooperative in the manner in which the federal government removes people from their jurisdictions. They think that only certain categories of criminals who are a danger to the community or who are a danger to national security, those should be the high priority for removal, and not someone who has a minor misdemeanor, like having jumped a turnstile at a subway. So that's the struggle between the federal government and the states and localities.
If you're just tuning in, Muzaffar Chisti is my guest. He's the director of the Migration Policy Institute's office at the New York University School of Law. Has this sort of resistance been effective before now?
Yes, we have had significant cooperative arrangement between the federal government and the states and localities and immigration enforcement for, you know, at least since 9/11, and much more robust way since 2008. There's a program which was initiated in President Bush's time, continued in President Obama's time, called Secure Communities, where anyone who was brought to a local jail where the fingerprints would be taken for an alleged crime for the report, those fingerprints would be matched against an immigration database instantaneously. And if the database suggested that the person at the booking facility is removable from the United States, the federal government would issue a request, call it detainer, to the local government cops that please hold that person, we want to remove him. That has caused tremendous amount of anxiety in the local jurisdictions. And beginning, you know, in 2010, all the way to 2014, many local jurisdictions, about pretty close to 300 of them, resisted full cooperation with such detainer requests.
The cities that are vowing to remain sanctuaries for undocumented immigrants, what consequences do they face if they resist national immigration policy?
Well, the president-elect and people who have advised him on this issue have suggested that these cities will be penalized. And the penalty that's been suggested is in fiscal terms, that they would, federal government would withhold certain funds from these cities. I must also tell you that about 26 bills have been introduced in Congress since 2015 to exactly accomplish that, and none of those bills have passed Congress. So if you receive funding from the federal government for a variety of local services, then the federal government could suspend or completely stop you from getting any of those funds. Whether they can suspend all the funds or only limited categories of funds is what remains to be seen.
The other issue is that US immigration courts are already, I think, very massively backlogged. How long is this process therefore likely to take?
Well, that's exactly the point, that even if any administration decides to have a massive removal program, everyone who is put in proceedings has to be given due process of law. And that means they have to be taken to an immigration court. Our immigration court system is already clogged, and there are about 500,000 cases waiting to be processed. And in many cases, it takes like 4 to 5 years to get a hearing. So anyone else who's put into that pipeline will have to go to the back of the line. So given the number of judges in the country, given the resources in our immigration enforcement system, it will take a long time for people to be processed before they can be removed from the country.
So how much does party politics play into this? There's cities mostly run by Democrats resisting laws made by a Republican federal government or a Republican administration. Is this a recipe, therefore, for chaos, given those layers?
Well, we have seen resistance from cities for a long time. I think one has to understand that cities, even both red and blue cities, and red and blue in the U.S. context is meant to indicate Republicans or Democratic jurisdictions. Cities, by and large, have resisted federal engagement in immigration law with their local cops for a very long time. And they place it purely on issues of good policing and good security, that local police believes that their principal job is to secure the safety of local people in the city. And if they're seen as cooperating with the federal government, then local residents will not trust them. And local residents will not report crimes, local residents will not become witnesses to crimes, and that actually endangers public safety.
Could the federal government challenge these sanctuary cities in court if it actually came to that?
Well, the state of law on this is that we have a 10th Amendment of our Constitution, which sort of suggests that federal government cannot commandeer local jurisdictions to do anything. And to force someone to do your thing will be in violation of the 10th Amendment. This is not asking states to force them to do something. It is telling the states that if you do not cooperate with us in these arrangements that have evolved in the last 7 to 8 years, then we will penalize you. It's more in the realm of penalizing for non-cooperation as against forcing cities to cooperate.
And that's Muzaffer Chishti. He's the director of Migration Policy Institute's Office of New York University School of Law. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell, media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.